that's you.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, you're coming around.
Yeah, God bless you all.
Thank you.
And you.
Welcome. I know this is kind of different. Usually, of course, we're at Point Loma Assembly for our Sunday morning fellowship, but we're here in our home. So welcome, welcome. It's always nice to do home fellowships. I enjoy our home fellowships. So welcome on Facebook Live, and great to have you all aboard with us. I'm very excited about the fellowship tonight, especially tonight, today, especially with what I believe God's really worked on my heart to share from God's Word. So we're going to see the greatness of our redemptive results of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I mean, this is the season, right? The Easter season. So it's a big deal. And it's a great time to remember exactly what the Lord and Savior did to bring about our redemption, right? He paid the price. We didn't do it. We can't pay for it.
What do you want?
But he paid for it. So, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, good deal. So, Jeannie, you want to have a word of prayer?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the life that you chose for us before the foundation of the world, that we would be your precious sons and daughters, and that we would grow up in grace and in the life that you've provided for us, and that we would be the testimonies of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his life, his faithfulness, his willingness to give up his life to save us, to rescue us from the hands of the adversary, and that we could have eternal life, that we could have that same spirit that is in you, that is in him, that Christ in us. So I thank you for each day we can grow stronger and stronger in this reality of your tremendous love and who you've called us to be. And I thank you for each one of us here, for our lives, for joy bubbling inside of us as we recognize our identity and as we recognize the healing that Jesus also paid for on the cross, and the broken body and shed blood. Thank you for our healing for each one of us. And I pray also for Owen and for his healing this day completely. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So, yeah, I'm to recognize the greatest act that any one man has ever done is what Jesus Christ did to bring about the opportunity for us to be born again of God's Spirit. His redemptive work. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. So we're going to really look at, we're going to do a deep dive into that a little bit this morning. So, but you want to sing a song?
Sure.
Yeah.
I know some people are singing some songs here. You got your song books unless you sat on them. So, I think an appropriate song for this time of the year, number 4.
Can I?
Yeah, go ahead and close that. That would be great.
Dan and Rebecca are coming.
Is Dan and Rebecca coming? Oh, okay.
They're not open.
I don't have number 4.
You don't have number 4?
What happened?
Because from 30 to 70.
Oh, that's Calvary.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them up there.
That's
the recovery song. What's that? You're doing number 4. I guess they could sit back there. About a month ago. Yeah.
I got the report and said it had a complex problem.
Love how it starts.
And this is a great song.
I don't know what it means.
Yeah, look at the words as we sing this song. It's awesome. It definitely reflects the love of God. And we're getting the ukulele as well. Hopefully that'll keep us together a little bit.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm kind of stalling a little bit. We know that Dan and Rebecca are on their way, right?
Yeah, Bob Harkin went out and came in.
Okay. He's the same surgeon.
So I'm sure they want to participate in this.
Of course.
Singing?
Yes. Of course.
Yeah. Oh, they're coming in the back way.
Oh.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah. Oh, that's very unique.
Yeah, they snuck in the back. That's nice.
We're gonna sing number four.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we're doing number four at Calvary, a very appropriate song for this time of the year. So, you ready? Here we go.
Years of sin and vanity and pride, carry not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died.
The Lord. I'm really anxious to get into the Word right away this morning. So, if you got your Bibles or phones that have Bibles on them or whatever,
be anxious for nothing.
And there we go. Just a reminder: next week,
10:41 a.m.
we'll be at Point Loma Assembly, and we'll have a special Easter fellowship next Sunday, and we're doing a luncheon. So there's a sign-up sheet on the mantle if you want to sign up to bring some goodies for our luncheon afterwards. So it'll be a joyous, wonderful time being together next week, Sunday, 10:30, fellowship at Point Loma Assembly. Okay, well, ready to get into the Word a little bit? We're going to be in the Gospel of John, chapter 16 and 17. And just some introductory remarks that I'd like to share with you. You know, the events of a major operation, something that's been planned, that's very important, that's critical, and you planned it out, you worked it out, and time goes on as you approach the kickoff time, right? Let's say in sports, they have games, so, you know, there's weeks and weeks of preparation before the big game. You know, the hour comes when we start the game. And in light of our redemption and what Jesus Christ did, there was a promise in Genesis 3:15. God made a promise after the fall of man that he would redeem mankind. There were many prophecies in the Old Testament, Proverbs, things said about the coming Christ and all the details that would occur that would bring about the perfect redemption of mankind. And yet, all this time went on, but then finally you reach the point where the hour is come. Mm-hmm. It's time to finish the work. And this is what we're going to look at when we look here in John chapter 16 and 17. So let's take a look. We're going to actually start in verse 20. Okay? Verse 20. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." First of all, it's interesting, these first two words, "verily, verily." I mean, who talks like that? This is the King James. So what's being communicated here? And this term is used, I think, uniquely in the book of John. And so, what does that mean, "verily, verily"?
Truly, truly.
Yeah, truly, truly.
So be it, so be it.
So be it. You know, it's an expression, a figure of speech, that what I am saying is going to come to pass. I mean what I say, and I say what I mean. Okay? And that would be a unique study to look at all the places where "verily, verily" is used in the Bible, especially here in the Gospel of John. But here it is in this verse 20. And he says, you're going to weep and lament, but the world's going to do what?
Rejoice.
What's happening here? What's going to happen? The hour's coming for Jesus to pay the ultimate price to be on the cross, right? Mm-hmm. And so the world's going to rejoice, but you're going to be sorrowful. But your sorrow is going to be turned into
joy.
Joy. Oh my goodness. A woman, verse 21, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. I can't relate to this. You ladies that have had children, I'm sure you could relate to this. This is a great example that Jesus Christ is using to show the contrast of what's going to be happening when he dies for all mankind. The world's going to rejoice. We're going to be sad about it. But in the end, there's great joy to be experienced. Mm-hmm. You ladies, I guess, when you're pregnant, you know you're pregnant.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. Well, it becomes evident after a few months, I think. And so as time goes on, you're planning, you're waiting for that 9 months, right? And finally what? The hour cometh, okay? And you're delivered of that child, and I know it's not an easy thing, but boy, the results is fantastic.
Amen.
To bring a life into the world. Think about it. You gals, that's pretty special that you guys, you girls experience that. Wow. All right, let's move on. Verse 22, and you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall
rejoice.
Yes, amen. And your joy no man taketh from you. This is a joy that's so deep and wonderful and rich and golden that it's not going to be able to be taken from us. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, there's that verily, verily again. I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. You know, this is a great promise we need to tap into. I think we fall short in believing God that what he says, and he says, verily, verily, this is the truth. I say what I mean and mean what I say here. You ask the Father and I'm going to do it. He's going to do it for us. Well, verse 24, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. Oh, wow. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, we got a great Heavenly Father that we need to ask and we will receive. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I shall say unto you, not unto you, that I will pray the Father. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God.
Amen.
And I came forth from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. Wow. This is where he's going. This is his last hour. The hour has come. And my goodness, in light of all the prophecies and the scriptures in the Old Testament talking about the coming Christ and all the details, and Jesus Christ perfectly did everything that was promised in the Word. He fully and completely fulfilled all the prophecies and the promises about who he is and who what he would do. And now the final hour is coming. Wow. His disciples, verse 29, said unto him, lo, now speaketh thou plainly, and speaketh no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needeth not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. You know, these guys, you know, his followers, his disciples, they were kind of wishy-washy, right? Sometimes they were into it and sometimes they weren't. They were questioning him. But boy, at this point, they were on board. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Finally? Well, verse 32, behold, the hour cometh. Yea, it is come. It is now come. So this is, Jesus is about to step into that final act of giving his life on the cross for all mankind. Amazing what he says here. His last words before he turns himself over to be crucified. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet, I am not alone because the Father is with me. You know, Jesus Amen. Christ went through some horrendous torture and pain, but the Father was with them. They scattered. What about old Peter? Peter said, I'll die with you, Lord. I'll stand with you. And what did Jesus say?
You deny me.
A few times here, you're going to deny me. So they were scattered. These things, verse 33, I have spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. What an interesting thing to say at this critical time where he's given his life over and the drama and the intensity of what was happening, but they would have peace.
All the pain.
Wow. In the world you shall have tribulation. Mm-hmm. I think we can all confess to that, right? Yep. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Our Lord and Savior, our Redeemer, has what? Overcome the world. So whatever tribulation, whatever pressures, whatever things we experience in the world, and we experience them, we have a Savior that overcomes the world. Pretty neat. Yep. Well, let's go to chapter 17. Now, in the original God-breathed word, there were no verses or chapters. God didn't say, okay, you know, as John was writing this, let's put chapter 17 down now, verse, no. It just continued on, okay? So we're going to continue on here with verse 1, chapter 17. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. I mean, think about this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, what he went through. He was somewhat 30-some years of age at this point, and all the things that he's experienced, all the great acts of love and care, miracles, things that he did, that he fulfilled all the promises that were said about him, what he would do in the Old Testament. And now the hour's come. Wow. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee.
Wow.
That's pretty heavy, isn't it, in light of how he's going to do that? As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, we know that, right? We know the results of what he did. So we have eternal life because of the gift of Holy Spirit and the new birth. And this is life eternal, that you might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's eternal life, boy. And that's how we're going to live eternal life, knowing God and his Son, Jesus Christ. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Jesus Christ was faithful 100% to do exactly everything God asked him to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was.
Yes.
Wow. Before the world was, God knew of this time. He knew that he had to have a redeemer, right? Mm-hmm. The Lord Jesus Christ, that he would have a son that would die a most horrible, tragic death. And yet, because he so loved the world, he gave his son to do this, right? Before the world was, this all was known in God's heart. Now, what about you and I? Did God, when did he know you? Did he discover you when you were born? Or did he discover you at the new birth?
Before the world began.
Yes,
the foundations
yes.
of the world was laid.
In 2 Timothy, I'm going to quote this verse for you, 2 Timothy 1, 9, and 10. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began.
Amen.
That God knew each one of us at some point in our life by our freedom of will would believe and get born again. Isn't that amazing?
Beautiful.
Woo.
Wonderful. Ultimate love.
Yeah, yeah. The next verse, but is now made manifest. This is verse 10, 2 Timothy chapter 1. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Boy, couldn't say it any better, huh? Mm-mm. You know, think about what we're reading here. Mm-hmm. Pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, God's having words put in the scriptures here, his God-breathed word that he wants us to know and appreciate and realize, especially at this last hour of Jesus Christ's life before our redemption. This is the culmination of his redemptive plan for all mankind since that promise in Genesis 3:15. All right, let's let's move on here. Verse 6, rather. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now, they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what we want to continue to do. We want to continue to believe God's word, that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Now, I'm going to share something with you. He didn't pray for the world. He prayed for those that were on, you know, his team.
Yes.
You know, sometimes you hear people, oh, we got to pray for this world, this poor old world. Jesus didn't pray for the world.
Uh-uh.
He prayed for his team. He prayed for the believers. And I know we pray for situations and things as we live life, and that's good, that's okay. But boy, at this point in Jesus Christ's life, he was thinking about the believers. He was praying for them. Okay. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. You know, he knew it. Pretty soon he'd be raised up from the dead and be at the right hand of the Father. But they would be in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Now, one in the sense of the same purpose, right? That they have the same goals, same family. They're one together like that. Hear his last hour, his last words, and where is his heart? He's praying for those that work with him. Yeah, the believers. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Who's that?
Judas.
Judas.
The spirit.
And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Mm-hmm. My joy fulfilled in themselves. That's what we have. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil.
Amen.
Yeah. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Are you of this world?
Nope.
Verse 17, great verse here. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is what?
Truth.
But sanctify means to set apart special, right? You and I have been sanctified. We're set apart special according to the truth. And we belong to God and God alone. Pretty neat. And for theirs, let's see, where are we at? Verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone. Okay, he's praying for the people that work with him, his disciples and stuff. He's praying for them. But he says, I not only pray for them, also which shall, that were with him, also which shall believe on me through their word. So not only was he praying for these folks at that time, but he prays for those who would believe him in the future. Wow. Is that you and I?
Yes.
Yeah, amen. You and I. He's praying for you and I, those who would believe in the future. Man, oh man. Mm-hmm. This is what's going on at that last hour before he gives his life over to be crucified. So what was that prayer that he prays for them and us? That they may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. You know, we know today it's Christ in us, the hope of glory, right?
Right.
We kind of say God in Christ in us. And man, that's the greatest thing. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Wow, what a close.
Yeah.
So what happens after this, if we read chapter 18, they go over to the garden, and Jesus turns himself over to the soldiers, right? The soldiers come in there, and somebody's ears cut off. You know, Peter gets excited, and Jesus heals the guy's ear. But they take Jesus, and from that point on, for hours and hours and hours, he goes through the worst torture, the worst pain, the worst humiliation any person's ever been through. For many, many hours, he goes through this. The Bible says he was so beaten that you couldn't even describe him as a person. It was so ugly and so bad.
Yes.
And finally, they let him out to be crucified, right? He couldn't carry the cross. They grabbed some other guy to carry that wooden stake or whatever it was. And then he finally hung on that cross for you and I to finish and complete that dynamic redemptive work. And he finally said, "It is finished." What was finished? The redemptive work that he came to give. The completion of the promise that, well, it's not the full completion, but in part, Genesis 3:15, that man would be redeemed. And what a privilege and opportunity we have to know this, to recognize what our Lord and Savior did. We should be so grateful, so thankful. We have things going on in our life and stuff, but it pales compared to what our Lord and Savior went through to redeem us. We are the result of his loving act. And with the new birth that he allowed, that was ushered in, we are in Christ, and Christ is in us. And as he declared in this last verse 26, that love of God is sown in our hearts, right? By the Holy Spirit that we have. So, aren't we thankful that he finished the work? That hour has come, and he finished the work. And now, the reality of 2 Corinthians 5:21 is living in us. He became our sin offering who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
What a redeemer, huh?
Amen.
Amen. Yes. So, Father, thank you for the richness of your love and grace, and that we are privileged, Father, to read this, and thank you for putting it in the Word, that we can see this final hour, that Jesus went through and what he said and the heart that was expressed and your wonderful love that's been shown through him for us. We are so blessed and thankful, Father. So I pray that we can continue to live our lives with great thankfulness, with great joy, that we can know that we're your sons and daughters and that we have eternal life and that we have fellowship with you. Thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right.